'Twas the night before, Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring except for two nerds who decided to make their own Christmas versions of things. What? It's a Christmas Maker! Everybody, and welcome back to your new favorite show, The More You Nerd. My name is Drew, and I need my ho-ho helper.
This is not Bunny Presents by Sabrina Carpenter.
Okay, I got a better one. Ho-ho-ho, and I need my bro-ho-ho, Miles. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I don't know if that's any better. It's good, but... the implications are still there.
Tell me I ain't wrong.
Yeah, well. before we get started, it's funny. We are recording a little earlier than we usually do, and this is going to be a little more, from my end at least, unprepared than I intended to be, because after we stopped recording last week, I woke up and drove to see my mom in Tennessee, and I got back about 24 hours ago. Not even 24 hours ago. And so we had an opportunity to record a little early because we both wanted to have as much of the Christmas week off as we could. And that meant, while I have a Maker, the cookie's more cookie dough right now.
Look,
as a
Miles,
result.
No one is going to be offended other than me. So it's totally fine.
That's fine. I do want to mention something in relation to last week. So I went to where my mom lives outside of Nashville and Tennessee in Franklin. And we've spent time in both Franklin and Nashville. So I was in a big city. So I was shopping in these big cities. And so I was hearing a lot of Christmas music. And I messaged Drew when this happened because I was like, you're not going to believe this. Well, you might, but you're not going to believe this. I heard Christmas Time by Smashing Pumpkins, a song I have never heard played in a public place before unless I was doing the playing. I heard it in a used bookstore, and I was like, son of a bitch. Okay.
Well, all right. I thought you said pizza place. Is it used bookstore?
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. That I was at Bricks. You're right.
Okay.
Yes, because I was across the table from my mom, and I was looking at Krista kind of weird, and she's like, what's wrong? I'm like, there's a lot of, like, you know, obviously local noise, and the radio is not turned up. So I'm like, I'm pretty sure I know this song, but I'm only hearing like every third chord. And then Billy Corgan's voice is so soft in that song, it's hard to make out when there's a cacophony of noise at a pizza parlor. And so I go to the bathroom specifically so I can hear what's playing in the stereo, and it's Christmas Time by Smashing Pumpkins, and I heard several songs of the traditional type, and I heard some of the songs from our album that we made. I did hear "Oil of the World," and I did hear. Father Christmas.
You know, Miles.
But you know what I didn't hear anywhere I went? You want to know what I didn't hear, Drew?
All right, bye.
I didn't hear Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays by NSYNC at any place we went. And we went to some specific Christmas stores, too.
Apparently, they are upping their game in the quality of Christmas music that they put out by not playing that song. But I just got to say...
I forget how much you don't like that song.
I just got to say... You know, Miles, we joke often about how we have our finger on the pulse of society and often talk about things as they re-enter the cultural lexicon. And
Drew, it sounds like he's making a joke. No, this is something we talk about like every week for the last like 13 years.
Yeah, we'll talk about something and then a big news story happens within 2 weeks.
We did Caddyshack 2 and a week later, this massive like 20-year expose on the making of the movie came out. And then like... I didn't even know that it was the anniversary when we did it.
Yeah, it was happenstance. And that just happens over and over and over again. It's possible that we are just feeding into the latent, nascent AI social media algorithms to get us thinking about things before they drop something.
Yeah, this has been happening before that,
but
though.
It's been happening for a while. But anyway, I say that to say that maybe we're just a step ahead of Oi to the World and Father Christmas and Christmas Time by the Smashing Pumpkins, even though we didn't include it in the final playlist, being back in the cultural lexicon.
But I would say Oi to the World is a pretty big one.
I had never heard it before, so I can't, you know. But again, everybody's experiences is a little bit different.
But that's fair, but I will say, no offense, but that doesn't mean much. And I know he's not taking offense for it because he knows, but like
I do
but we're gonna play more with that later next year. But we are here for, I guess, our last proper episode of the year.
Yeah, well, we have a very proper, very
talking about like a standard More You Nerd episode. Yes, that is pageantry and happenstance that's happening next week.
Yeah We'll get our tuxes on for next week. But this week, oh boy, do we have some stuff to talk about. So I'm just going to get into mine, and then we'll talk about it. Mine's going to start out with a little bit of a... Oh, and if you haven't listened to our show before, we do make-as, where we make a thing. And this week, we are making our own Christmas versions of a TV movie, comic book, whatever you want.
I think, was our last one Star Trek, or was it the comic book crossover?
I think it was comic book crossover last time.
I was super proud of my Nightwing Daredevil one. I remember that.
That was very good. I don't remember what my crossover was then, but that's okay. I'll look it up later. So this is a little bit of a scene. Location: redacted. Sorry to drag you in from your vacation. This is too early to wait. It's fine. Just lost the deposit for heliskiing, but there's always next season. Funny, but let's get to business. A folder slides across the table. It opens. Nicholas St. Croix. St. Nick. We lost all trace of him 4 years ago. And now we know why. He's been working on something new, something we haven't seen before. Project K. What is it with these guys in letters? Figured they'd have run out of them by now. At least they haven't switched to the Greek alphabet yet. Let's save the jokes for your plane ride. We need to talk about the mission. Okay, Chris, where are you sending me? We've pinged his location to a remote facility deep in the Arctic. Good thing I brought my coat. Where St. Croix goes, his wife is surely also on site. She's been his chief research assistant since the beginning. Her particular specialty is animal-based bioweapons. We've both run into some of her pets before. But this Project K, it's something new. And we need our best on-site ASAP. Because if what we're hearing is true, by Christmas Eve, this could be in every home on the planet. That's why we're sending you, Leon. Guitar riff. This is Resident Evil X-mas.
Love it, love it, love it. It took me a second to catch on to what you were doing, and then once you brought in the Mrs. Claus kind of character, I was like, Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we have Saint Nick and Mrs. Claus, of course, Claws, Claus, because she works in animal-based bioweapons. You're also going to run into what Leon is going to refer to as elves, which are people that were working at this facility that, for whatever reason, what has been going on has changed their stature. Some have gotten very, very small. Some have gotten very, very skinny. They're kind of your zombies.
kind of like the basic bad guys in like maybe a Silent Hill game, where you have some that are kind of like spindly and crawling around, and some are kind of like little tiny little guys like in the school.
Yes, yes. And of course, we are also going to lean heavily into not only blood red stuff happening, much like the Z reindeer that are also going to show up. You'll know them by their blood red nose. But yeah, they're going to be affected by whatever's going on, because they're going to have like a greenish hue to some of their skin as well. So we've got the color theme on down here. Of course, Leon is going to be our main character. Chris has already done an Arctic base mission, so he is staying out. He'll be on comms. However, he will probably appear in the New Year's Evil DLC. So. And of course, Ashley, we're going to have Ashley appear on comms as well, as she is as sort of Leon's
the agent in training.
Yeah, agent in training backup. And of course, we got,
is there a second player?
No, this is in the RE4 style, where the main, we have one main character. We do also have to talk about Project K, which we are going to be led through various encounters throughout the game. That is some sort of Krampus tyrant. However,
I don't know why I went with Kringle first, but like, all right, Krampus is great. It also factors into my story as well, because of course it does.
Of course it does. But what is actually going on is much, much worse. So check it out. Next holiday season, Resident Evil Xmas.
So no, this is great. I don't know why you said, "Oh, I think this has already been a thing," because I'm like,
it's because I literally just finished playing Resident Evil 8 Village, which is just walking around snowy landscapes and things like that.
I mean, and yeah, but I also had a castle for most of that game.
And prior to that, we also just played Resident Evil Code Veronica,
which does play place in the Arctic. That's what I thought you were going off of. But no, I think it's a great idea, because like, there are so many little Christmas things you can turn into nightmares. Like, you can easily have an abominable snowman event, like probably like the one that you had in Resident Evil 4.
Yeah,
you know, with the giant troll thing. You could have, you know, a heat miser and is it frost miser?
Is it just cold miser?
Is it cold miser? Yeah. But like, you could have those as little bosses, and Jack Frost. Like, there's so many things you could do with that concept to make them horror-esque, and some of them won't be one for one, because it doesn't have to be like a horror parody.
Cornelius, played by Barry.
Yeah, you could absolutely have like the helpful elf.
Barry's there. He's just dressed as Yukon Cornelius,
and still dies.
Well, no, Barry's not gonna die.
Doesn't he die in the first game?
No.
I thought in Jill's story, he gets shot and you think he's dead, and then it's later revealed that he doesn't die. Am I wrong on that?
Well, I can tell you that one of the endings of Resident Evil 3 is Barry showing up in a helicopter to fly you away.
That's right. So maybe that's not canonical then.
He was also the star of the Game Boy Resident Evil
Gaiden, which I watched some gameplay of that, like when we were doing our Resident Evil month, and I was like, I'm so glad we didn't play this game.
Well, you know, we might be returning to some of this stuff, so who
knows? We absolutely will not be. Okay, so what made you go with Leon? Because I know you don't dislike Leon, but I know you are a little more.
No, I like Leon. I like Leon a lot. What are you talking about? It's very difficult to love Resident Evil games and not love Leon.
I mean, yeah, I love Leon. Absolutely. After the first playthrough, you get some Santa outfits, some awesome Christmas costumes.
I think part of it was playing through RE8 and thinking, boy, this game would be a lot more fun if I was playing as Leon. And then the
You mean an actual character and not an audience stand-in that is the equivalent of a wet noodle.
The other side of that, though, is that of course we now have the reveal that Leon will be a playable character in Resident Evil 9 Requiem.
I love this whole rollout, because like, at the start, they had flat out said that Leon was going to be in the game. People forget that. And then
close enough attention to it at that point.
No. I'm talking about when they were talking about announcing this game. This is like forever ago. And like the insider chatter for it. But when they first were rolling out this game, they're like, oh, well, you know, Leon's too cool. Like, you can't be scared of playing Leon. So we did not want to add him. And then you can tell they're like off camera, you know, because of course the rollout at the Game Awards is, oh, there's Leon front and center.
Well, and the fact that it leaked days before. Like
even hotter.
It leaked days before because people were pre-ordering the game and all of a sudden the box art they were being shown had Leon on it on their PlayStation.
Just because he's in the game itself doesn't mean he's a playable character, but then they were like, oh, no, you also play Leon.
I suppose that's true because, you know, Chris is effectively on the cover of Resident Evil 8 and... I mean, he's playable a little bit, but...
Yeah, but we are blissfully saved from playing as him too much.
But I figured, yes, Chris and Claire have already done the Arctic base side of things. It's Leon's turn.
Mm-hmm. It's Leon's turn. Maybe adding, like, Rebecca Chambers or somebody.
You know, I forget about Rebecca Chambers. I thought about her initially, and I was like, I don't even know.
You know who doesn't forget about Rebecca Chambers?
You.
Albert Wesker.
Oh, God.
And you know exactly what I'm referring to.
Yeah. So in Resident Evil 2, the original, if you check Wesker's desk precisely, like, was it 50 times?
50 times? I think it's 50 times, yeah.
You get a picture of Rebecca.
Of 19-year-old Rebecca Chambers, because...
Well, she's in a basketball outfit.
She's in a
So which yes. makes me think that it's her high school basketball picture, right? Which is gross. Like
it's really gross already. And then you think, okay, it's 2025. Three when that remake came out
of RE1,
RE2.
Oh, RE2. Yeah, that was pre
2020.
No, because 2020, I think, was in 3 remake came out.
Okay, so maybe it's 2019. Either way, in the remake, you think, okay, it's been quite some time. They have to tone it down. Oh, no. It's even creepier and cringier in the remake.
I haven't actually looked at this because I forget to do it.
I sent it to you when we were talking about it.
I know, but I don't remember what it looks like.
It's way creepier. But no, I've always liked the kind of like side characters for Resident Evil in that respect. Like, I love Rebecca.
It's definitely worse, but
it's way worse.
But it's maybe less. Although she's wearing RPD in this one, I got to look at the original again.
The original is her like in like a basketball uniform, but the remake is like more suggestive in her pose.
Oh, it is an RPD basketball costume. So, or basketball.
Oh, yeah, that makes it better, uniform. Right?
So it's not a high school basketball photo.
Yeah, she's still 19 in the first game. So who knows when that photo was taken?
I don't know, man.
I don't know. I don't know why we're back to Resident Evil lore, but we are.
I don't know. I don't know what she did to get on a crazy SWAT team at 19, but maybe Wesker.
I mean, maybe she was a Doogie Howser situation. Maybe she's the best medic there is.
Maybe.
I do have some questions though. So for your, I'm assuming the Project K is kind of a nemesis type thing. Is that the final boss, or are you going to have the dual boss of St. Croix and the wife as?
So we're going to have St. Nick and Mrs. Claus. I haven't quite played out exactly, because again, we're going to meet this Krampus tyrant a few times. But what St. Nick and Mrs. Claus have planned for the real Project K, because we're going to think Project K, Krampus, that's the same thing. Oh, it's not. It's something that needs to, that has the capability to, again, get in every home on the planet overnight on Christmas Eve, which I thought was maybe the dumbest thing I've ever written, but it's so silly and stupid.
No. I mean, in the RE world, is it kind of dumb? Sure, but like, if you're doing a Christmas Resident Evil game, no, that's perfect. Yeah, I love that. I love that touch.
So it will end up being sort of tied to the whole Code Veronica like weird ant control thing that they found a way to broadcast something across the planet. It's a whole thing. I didn't really get that far into it. that's the hole I left. That's the gap. So
I love the idea of a Christmas horror game. I was gonna tease you and be like, oh, so you made Parasite Eve 3. Because the first Parasite Eve is a horror Christmas game.
I forget that it's on Christmas, man. Because I never finished it. I played it with Mike on stream, and we didn't get very far into the game.
Oh, man. We might have to revisit that one. And then I remember really liking, too, when it came out. Apparently, like, at the time, people hated it. Didn't realize that. But
it was third birthday that people really hated, right?
Oh, no. I was among them. They turn Aya Brea into like a Moe kind of character, and you're like, what just happened? But there are some mechanics in that game that I'm kind of curious to revisit, so I do want to replay it. I've heard from plenty of friends that, like, I know what you're going through. I went through that. Don't fall into the same rabbit hole that I did, because it's a mistake. But I mean, I'm so starved for new Parasite Eve, and I mean, seriously, if you're gonna remake something, come on, guys.
Well, there are some. Like, there are a couple of Parasite Eve likes that have been announced that
could be
absolute garbage.
But see, here's the problem with that, and I know we are veering off course, but whatever, it's our show. I don't mind games that are inspired or take even very heavy inspiration from prior games. That's fine. You want to make a Link to the Past like, or Link's Awakening like, cool.
Yeah, if you want to make a Link to the Past like, maybe you don't call it Past's Links.
Well, not just that. I don't care about the title. That's whatever, but that's part of it. But, like, there's a difference between being inspired by something and then copying your homework.
Yeah.
And some of these games are like, oh, we're going to give you the exact same experience. And I'm like, but did you do anything else? Or are you just doing the first game in your vision? And that's what happens a lot. It certainly happened with, like, was it Daymare 1995 or whatever that came out? That it originally started as a Resident Evil 2 remake until Capcom announced Resident Evil 2 remake.
I don't remember that one off the top of my head, but I wasn't paying attention to a lot of horror games at that point.
It was one that was supposed to, like, kind of be like the like a nice modern remake, like an Unreal remake in the mid-2000s of Resident Evil 2. And then they switched gears because either Capcom's lawyers got involved or they decided to start making RE2, and they were like, oh, we're not going to compete with that.
So
it's tough because, like, Parasite Eve is such a great, like, game at the time, because, like, when you play it, you're like, oh, this game was really trying to do different things, and it was really, really, like, ambitious, despite the fact that they didn't have the money for the ambition, and it's very limited, but it's also a really good action RPG. But it's one that's worth revisiting. It's tougher than people remember, because I think you have to take it for granted, you also, because you have the survival horror aspect of limited ammo and stuff, as well as the RPG aspect. And yeah, so you're
it was not an easy experience for that game.
No, I think my last playthrough, I got stuck at some giant crab towards the end, and I was like, I'm done.
I would really hope that it shows up on PlayStation Plus.
It needs to. Square tends to, like, hoard their stuff like a dragon. But, like, unless you're going to give us a proper remake, maybe don't make a 90-hour, like, part of a Final Fantasy game and spend some of those resources elsewhere. Just saying. And I liked Rebirth. I'm not saying I didn't, but, like, I spent 92 hours on a part of a story.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, Miles, that's...
But I guess we have to get to my half-baked idea. Okay. So it's Christmas Eve. All of the little kids are snuggled in their beds and waiting for Santa Claus to come. And he does. All the kids across the world, all the good little boys and girls, have been given their gifts. While they are sleeping, a group of ne'er-do-wells that I have not named because I didn't have time to think about a name for them But I was going to say maybe some sort of cult, or possibly maybe someone who is spying on the Earth. Their plan is to steal the presents of every child on Earth. Not because they want the gifts, not because they want the money, but because they want the misery. Because the misery fuels their god. And the headquarters of this group is in Japan. That is where everything is happening. And that is where one ambitious reporter gets a scoop because of one person from this group who has decided to defect. They don't believe in the mission anymore. But it's too late. All of these negative emotions that get spawned on Christmas morning by both parents and children who have had their hard-earned Christmas presents stolen, fuel into the ether and bring to life this horrific, gigantic monster, Krampus.
The Krampus Kaiju?
Yes. And there is only one green person, not person, but, you know, thing on Earth that can set things right.
The Incredible Hulk.
And I am proposing Godzilla Saves Christmas. Of course, I would set this up as almost like a 70s Godzilla movie. So certainly not the...
It would have to be Showa era, just because the concept of stealing everyone's presents for Christmas morning is just not something that you... Like, it doesn't make any logical sense.
No, it doesn't. But it's such a Showa idea. And it also works with one... one of my favorite suits is the 74, I think. But the 70s, early 70s Godzilla. One of my favorite gifts in the entire history of Godzilla is, I think it's Godzilla versus Megalon, when he and Jet Jaguar are fighting Gigan and Megalon, and there's a bit where Godzilla's face is coming over this set of rocks, and it's got this like the meanest mug popping up, and it's legit one of my favorite Godzilla moments of all time. It makes me laugh every single time, because obviously Godzilla is a fixed face, but if you put the camera in certain spots, it shows a different emotion.
Yeah,
and it is the biggest like, oh, you done messed up kind of look. It's wonderful. So I want it to be Showa era because, one, there's so many Showa era things that, you know, we have watched, obviously, but like that era of Japanese storytelling is kind of S tier. Like, it is unlimited in its imagination. And while it's limited by its budgets, they just don't care. And that's what makes it so magical to me. So I would want that kind of 70s Showa era Godzilla facing off against a kaiju Krampus style monster.
So Kaiju Krampus, this is where a Showa Kaiju Krampus, like, I don't like using AI, but I kind of want to plug this into one to see what it looks like.
So you don't even have to, because while it's not Kaiju Krampus, there was a fan film in 1983 that still has not been completed, called Wolfman versus Godzilla, and they actually used a Godzilla suit. It's an unfinished fan film, and
it's pretty Krampus-like, this suit.
Oh, have you? Okay, so you're looking at it right now.
I'm looking at it right now. Yeah,
yeah, it's very Krampus-like. So I was like, you know what? This already exists to me, and I think would be a perfect suit for a monstrous like mammal, because you don't get too many of those in the Godzilla canon. You get a couple here and there, but like King Caesar and things like that. But like mostly they're crustaceans and other reptiles, or I mean, Anguirus is, you know, I guess kind of, no, he's more reptilian. But I thought I love utilizing Godzilla for most things, but I thought a good Christmas Godzilla story, in which, and this is the era where Godzilla is kind of a hero. He's not like, oh, here I come to save the day, but he defends the Earth.
Yeah.
And I would love this idea of, that's why I was kind of maybe going for Aliens, maybe an Exilians type of alien, the classic silver suit, like rays around their eyes kind of situation. Like
the Planet X guys, is that the Exilians?
Yes, because it's half inspired by Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, which is like one of the best MST3K episodes ever, but
it's
also
so
like
weird.
It's also such a weird movie that like it's fun to watch in its own right. But I wanted something that would be like super fun and Christmassy, because there's so many things you could do. And I didn't specifically want to do a tokusatsu show. Like I didn't want to do, and I understand someone's gonna be like, well, tokusatsu is special effects. I didn't want it to be a Sentai like show. I didn't want a Kamen Rider or Super Sentai or Metal Heroes.
I tried to watch Kaku Ranger Christmas episode the other day, and my kids put up a fight, so I just fast forwarded to watch them beat up the Santas for a minute, and then
they weren't having fun with it.
It's subtitled. We had just watched Elf or something, which is a great movie. I don't want to,
we watched Elf this year.
Yeah, I don't want to deride Elf. It was just, I believe my wife said, you choose the weirdest things to spend your time watching, and it's like, you know what? Yeah, sometimes I do. It's okay.
This is the same person that spends like 2 hours a week with us playing a sci-fi role-playing game.
Yeah. Look.
And not just like with anyone, but like with us. Like the dumbest people you could possibly spend time with.
She can't
really talk. I love Rebecca, but
Are you starting to sound like Wesker?
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
It's weird in the context that we're talking about your wife, but yes.
Never mind.
I see the wheels turning. You're like, oh yeah, that is kind of weird, isn't it?
No, I was thinking about something else. It's like,
all right,
RPD basketball uniform cosplay. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I mean, I have her number. I can just text her. For Drew's birthday.
No.
How hilarious would that be, though?
It would not be. I don't think that would work. I don't think she would.
Oh, no. She would not find it amusing at all. But no, I love kaiju movies. And Patrick and I think once did like a kaiju Christmas kind of create an episode sort of thing. But like we kind of settled on, oh, well, it has to be Gamera, right? Because he's a friend to all children. But for me, like the 70s era Godzilla was kind of the same way. And like he was massively popular with kids. Like that's why he's endured for so long, is because kids loved Godzilla. And Gamera obviously has been very, very popular. But I also wanted to have the excuse to put a Santa hat on Godzilla at some point. Because Santa's going to get involved. He has to. I mean, I'm assuming the way I had it figured out was like the aliens would eventually like kidnap Santa so he couldn't, you know, re-gift anything. He couldn't, you know, go into hyperdrive and re-deliver presents to kids. So they kidnap Santa Claus so that there could never be another Christmas. Because this I think reveal would come out maybe after the first fight, maybe Godzilla kind of takes him down the first time. Like, oh yeah, you're nothing. So they kidnap Santa Claus, and all the kids knowing that Santa Claus is gone makes their grief stronger, which then again makes Krampus stronger. And so he beats down Godzilla in the second round. And then we will have to find some Christmas magic way, which would end up with a Santa hat on Godzilla for the final fight. So, in which he takes down Krampus.
Okay, I got a couple ideas here.
All right, I'm ready to hear them.
Okay, well, if you're talking about children and Santa Claus.
Yep. Hooray for Santa Claus.
What other great Showa-era children in the Godzilla franchise do you have than the twins that summon Mothra?
Oh, 1,000% Mothra would have to be involved.
They work to get to rescue Santa Claus. You have Mothra pulling Santa's sleigh.
Yes, yes.
Santa in the battle.
Love it.
With Mothra pulls out from his magical sack of presents that giant Santa hat for Godzilla to wear.
Yes, 1,000% yes. I love it. because I mean, that's one of the fun things about the Showa era Godzilla. Everyone has always gifs of, like, you know, him having the tree shoved down his throat by King Kong, or him doing the little dance, which was an actual popular dance at the time. Apparently the director of the movie hated it, but because it happened and it was in the dailies, the studio was like, oh, we love that. And he fought tooth and nail and he lost. He wanted that cut from the movie. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but you were incorrect, sir. That dance is incredible. So we will absolutely have to have some other little dance involved, because there has to be some sort of Christmas festivity. Yeah. Maybe, oh, Santa gifts. This is so stupid. And it's only because I know that it's a super popular chain in Japan at Christmas time for some reason. But he gives them a giant KFC chicken leg to chop on.
No, I think there's like a big chicken bucket like sign or on top of a building that's like an advertisement. And Krampus destroys it. And that sets Godzilla off.
Oh, yeah. And that's when RoboCop comes in. I love now it's just deep cuts of us knowing what American like things have like infiltrated Japanese pop culture.
I thought you were referencing that weird Godzilla versus Batman script that circulated a few years back.
Oh, no. I also thought you were about to talk about the Lemon Demon song from like when we were in college.
I don't know, because I don't.
Oh, you
know.
You do.
I know what it is, but I don't know what it is. Anyway.
Old Godzilla was humping around Tokyo City like a big playground when suddenly
The Ultimate Battle of Ultimate Destiny. Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. I just didn't know the band name. I know Battle of Ultimate Destiny.
Yeah.
Rebecca has that on a playlist, and it plays randomly in the car at some points, and it's just like, wow, these references are super amazing, dated.
Doesn't matter. That song still works. I actually listened to it on my drive back to South Carolina, and I was like, no, this is still funny. But no, I really do think that it would be a super fun thing to have a Godzilla Christmas movie, especially if it was a Showa style, which I think they could still do, because, like, I mean, even the Millennium era had the Suitimation. Like, some of the movies aren't as great, but, like, you could still easily, I mean, you've seen what we can do now. You could easily make it look and feel like a 70s era Godzilla film, and use a suit that looks like a 70s era suit and just pump out something amazing.
Let's get Hideaki Anno on the phone. He'd do this.
No, it's not.
He'd do this.
Nah. He would do it, but here's the thing about Hideaki Anno.
He did do Shin Godzilla, and it's a whole thing. He did Shin Godzilla,
which is a great political kaiju movie. It is not a great Godzilla movie.
I'm thinking more in the... I know he did Shin Godzilla. I haven't seen it, so I can't comment on it. But I know, you know, we watch Shin Ultraman. That's a pretty...
Wait, you haven't seen Shin Godzilla?
No, you know this. I own it. Haven't seen it.
I was doing a bad, like, advertisement for our friend Travis.
Look, you know, I have a ton of movies that
I... was winking really hard, too, and you just didn't look at me.
No, I did. I just remembered that this is an audio show.
Some nonsense.
Anyway, I think that you could get a good live action director. Maybe not Anno, maybe somebody in his sphere to do a good kaiju Christmas.
You know, someone wouldn't necessarily say, "Oh, why don't you get the guy that did Godzilla Minus One?" But he did do the Loop in the Third CGI movie that we both loved.
That's right. We talked about that. I was listening to that theme song the other day. It's so good.
I need to get that movie. It's so good.
I was searching around on Apple Music for something, and I saw that they had an 80s anime hits playlist. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what is on this? a lot of stuff I'd heard of, a lot of stuff I hadn't, a lot of random Gundam music was on there. But they
I'm assuming Kyun.
No, it's not, because
what?
Those rights are not available in the United States, so they can't legally play that.
They can't play the song?
So some of the original Macross music is available on streaming in the US.
Yeah.
You can find it on some Mari Ijima albums.
Yeah, because so when I find it on Spotify, it's not a Macross record, it's her record.
I believe that whether it's just not popular enough because the original Macross is in a weird spot, I don't know. Or whether it's a purposeful leaving off because of the status of that. Like, Do You Remember Love? I'm not gonna Oboitsi Masuka, I mispronounced that, I'm sorry, is on some anime playlists. But the original music from the show is not.
Interesting, because you know me, I'm not gonna hate on something. When you sent me some of the Robotech stuff to this is what the American version of this song, and they put no effort into the songwriting in a thing where songs are very, very important, and Drew can attest to this. I'm not a hater. Because I am someone who gives things very fair shots, and I'm usually the guy that's it's not that bad.
It's Miles's catchphrase. I've heard Miles say, "I actually liked that," so often in our
But the music in Robotech is hot garbage compared to Macross. It is the hottest garbage. And I'm not saying the stuff from the first Macross show is the best. That goes to Macross 7, but it's very, very good, and it's very good, city pop, you know. Yeah. Good city pop.
Oh yeah. Anyway, I feel based on the fact that we keep distracting ourselves to keep a conversation going, not that we're trying to keep it going, it's just we do this.
We're
we
drinking do this and having a conversation, and we also had half-baked ideas because we started this show way too early because we didn't finish them. That was a Christmas present to us.
Yes. So that I think this is where we put a bow on this one, wrap it up, and send it out, and talk about what is happening next week. So next week, Christmas is over, but the year isn't. And what's that time of year again? Everybody's favorite, most reliable, and most honest, prestigious, definitely the most prestigious award show that could possibly happen. It's the Maury Awards. The Maurys, our favorite time of year, where we are going to give awards to all of our favorite stuff from the past year. And that is going to be next week. Just to wrap up 2025, what a year.
It certainly was one of those.
Look, at least media has been good this year. At least we got that.
Yeah. We got some good stuff for sure. There's great movies, great shows, great music, great games, many of which we talked about and you will hear about again. Even the ones we talked about ad nauseum this year.
Yeah. There's one game that got a lot of awards at one particular location and might get another one next week.
I'm telling you right now, it's going to.
So
I don't care what they used and patched out. Guess what? It's getting an award.
So with that said, gang, we are going to end the show now. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can find it. Wow, I say this every week, and I don't pre-record it so that it's raw and real every week.
Should we do that?
No, because I like mixing it up a little bit. I don't know.
All right, that's fine.
I don't know. I should, but I just feel like it sounds too canned. Anyway, so you can find us. Now I've completely lost it. TheMoryUnerd.com. Find us at TheMoryUnerd.com, where you can find this and every other episode. You can find it at just about every social media, either at TheMoryUnerd or /TheMoryUnerd. And you can email us, TheMoryUnerd@gmail.com. That's TheMoryUnerd@gmail.com. You can also find us at our sibling show, Cosmic Crit. What's Cosmic Crit, you ask? Well, it's a show where me and Miles and all of our friends play a role-playing game together. It's an actual play podcast of currently the Starfinder universe, and we are about to kick off. We've actually kicked off for our Patreon listeners already, but everybody else is going to get it very soon. Starfinder 2nd Edition, and that has been super, super fun, and you can find that at CosmicCrit.com. If you also go to CosmicCrit.com, you can look in the upper right-hand corner, and you can find the link to the Cosmic Crit Discord. If you join that Discord, you can come and hang out with me and Miles all day while we are bored at work. So with that said, gang, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Happy holiday.
Bye, bye, bye. I mean, I'm sorry. That's not how we end the show. We end the show, as we always do, with a rousing nerd
out. Too nerd for y'all.